He said, look, there are pictures in the Bible. You see, Jesus and all his disciples at the Last Supper. My mother, in her West Indian accent, said, you mean, ain't nobody black was at the Last Supper? And the man said, yes, but they was in the kitchen. So now you've widened up everything. Any great invention that we made, you put white on it. Because you didn't want to admit that a black person had that enough, that intelligence, that genius. You try to color everything to make it satisfactory to the sickness of your mind. So you whitened up religion. Farrakhan didn't do that. You locked the Bible from us. Farrakhan didn't do that. Your sick mind wouldn't even let you bury us in the same ground that both of us came out of. We had to be buried somewhere else. That's sick. Some of us died just to drink water out of a fountain marked white. That's sick. Isn't it sick? You poisoned religion. And in all the churches until recently, the master was painted white. So you had us bowing down to your image, which ill affected our minds. You gave us your version of history. And you whitened that up. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You are a white shriner. The black shriner don't integrate the shrine. Why don't you black shriners integrate the shrine? Because in the shrine, you're the essence of the sacred. They don't want you there. They'll have to tell the world, it's you we've been thinking about all along. Now, white folks, see, the reason you could look at the O.J. Simpson trial in horror, and the reason black folk rejoice, had nothing to do with the horror of the tragedy. Black folk would never rejoice over the slaughter of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. Black folk saw that with compassion. Many black folk grieve over that reality. You say O.J. sold out. No, he didn't sell out. He was drawn out. Go ahead. Black folk that got talent, they all grow up in the hood. When we first sing, we sing in these old raunchy nightclubs in the hood. When we play sandlot ball, we play it in the hood. But when you spot us, you draw us out. You say, that Negro can run. Look at how high he jumps. So you give us a scholarship to your university. But the blacks who are in college, who play basketball for you, who play football for you, who run track for you, you disallow them to get involved with black students and the suffering of black students on all white campuses. You hide them away, give them privileges. Yeah. Then they find themselves with your daughter. Then you take them into the NBA, the NFL, and they become mega stars. Or in the entertainment field. And when they become megastars, their association is no longer black. They They may not have a black manager, a black agent, a black accountant. They meet in parties in posh neighborhoods that black folk don't come into. So their association becomes white women, white men. And association breeds assimilation. And if you have a slave mentality, you feel you have arrived now because you can jump over cars running in airports, playing films. I'm not degrading my brother. I love him. But he was drawn out. He didn't sell out. He was drawn out. Michael Jackson is drawn out. Most of our top stars are drawn out. And then when you get them, you imprison them with fear and distrust. You don't want them to speak out on the issues that are political, that are social. They must shut their mouths or you threaten to take away their fame, take away their fortune because you're sick. And the president is not going to point this out. He's trying to get well. But he's a physician that can't heal himself. I'm almost finished. White supremacy has poisoned the bloodstream of religion, education, politics, jurisprudence, economics, social ethics, and morality. And there is no way that we can integrate into white supremacy and hold our dignity as human beings. Because if we integrate into that, we become subservient to that. And to become subservient to that is to make the slave master comfortable with his slave. So we got to come out of her, my people. Come out of a system and a world that is built on the wrong idea. An idea that never can create a perfect union with God. The false idea of white supremacy prevents anyone from becoming one with God. White people have to come out of that idea, which has poisoned them into a false attitude of superiority based on the color of their skin. The doctrine of white supremacy disallows whites to grow to their full potential. It forces white people to see themselves as the law or above the law. And that's why Furman could say that he is like a god. See, he thinks like that. But that idea is pervasive in police departments across the country. And it's getting worse and not better because white supremacy is not being challenged. And I say to all of us who are leaders, all of us who are preachers, we must not shrink from the responsibility of pointing out wrongs so that we can be comfortable and keep white people comfortable in their alienation from God. And so, white folks are having heart attacks today because their world is coming down. And if you look at the Asians have the fastest growing economies in the world. The Asians are not saying, bashing white people. You don't find the Asian saying the white man is this, the white man is that, the white man is that. He don't talk like that. You know what he does? He just relocates the top banks from Wall Street to Tokyo. You don't say, I'm better than the white man. He just starts building his world and building his economy and challenging white supremacy. I saw a young 14-year-old Chinese girl the other day play the violin. Sarah Chang is her name. She was magnificent. I saw a young girl play the violin. She was magnificent. They don't have to say to white people, I'm better than you. They just do their thing. And white folk have to readjust their thinking because they thought that they could master all these instruments. Nobody else could, but the Chinese are mastering it. The Japanese are mastering it. All these things are breaking up the mind of white supremacy. Black man, you don't have to bash white people. All we got to do is go back home and turn our communities into productive places. All we got to do is go back home and make our communities a decent and safe place to live. And if we start dotting the black community with businesses, opening up factories, challenging ourselves to be better than we are, white folk, instead of driving by using the N-word, they'll say, look, look at them. Oh, my God. They're marvelous. They're wonderful. We can't say they're inferior anymore. But every time we drive by shoot, every time we carjack, every time we use foul, filthy language, every time we produce culturally degenerate films and tapes, putting a string in our women's backside and parading them before the world, every time we do things like this, we are feeding the degenerate mind of white supremacy. And I want us to stop feeding that mind and let that mind die a natural death. And so, to all the artists that are present, you wonderful, gifted artists, remember that your gift comes from God. And David the psalmist said, praise him on the timbrel, praise him on the lute, praise him on the harp, praise him in the psaltery, praise him in the song, praise him in the dance. Let everything be a praise of God. So when you sing, you don't have to get naked to sing. Demonstrate your gift, not your breast. Demonstrate your gift, not what is between your legs. Clean up, black man, and the world will respect and honor you. But you have fallen down like the prodigal son, and you're husking corn and feeding swine. Filthy jokes. We can't bring our children to the television. We can't bring our families to the movies. Because the American people have an appetite like a swine. And you are feeding the swine with the filth of degenerate culture. We gotta stop it. We're not putting you down, brothers. We want to pick you up. So with your rap, you can pick up the world. With your song, you can pick up the world. With your dance, with your music, you can pick up the world. And so, America, if your conscience is afflicted because God is lashing you, don't just start with the Constitution, Mr. President. Start with the evil of slavery, because that's the root of the problem. And you can't solve the problem, Mr. President, unless we expose the root. But when you expose the root to the light, then the root will die, the tree will die, and something new can come to birth. And so to the whites of this nation, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But can I return back into my mother's womb for the second time? No, you can't do that. But this old mind of white supremacy has to die in order that a new mind might come to birth. Black man, you can't see the kingdom of God unless we be born again. Must I enter back into my mother's womb for a second time? No, you can't do that, black man. But the mind of white supremacy is repulsive to God. And the mind of black inferiority is repulsive to God. And any mind of black supremacy is repulsive to God. But the only mind that God will accept is a mind stayed on Him and on righteousness. Black had to be taught to give us root in love in ourselves again. But that was a medicine, a prescription. But after health is restored, we can't keep taking the medicine. We got to move on to something else, higher and better. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, here's what we would like you to do. Every one of you, my dear brothers, when you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. Join the Urban League. Join the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join PUSH. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. I know that the NAACP did not officially endorse this march, neither did the Urban League, but so what? So what? Many of the members are here anyway. I know that Dr. Lyons of the National Baptist Association USA did not endorse the march, nor did the Reverend Dr. B.W. Smith, nor did Bishop Chandler Owens. But so what? These are our brothers, and we're not going to stop reaching out for them simply because we feel there was a misunderstanding. We still want to talk to our brothers because we cannot let artificial barriers divide us. Remember the letter of Willie Lynch. And let's not let Willie Lynch lynch our new spirit and our new attitude and our new mind. No. We must continue to reach out for those that have condemned this and make them to see that this was not evil. It was not intended for evil. It was intended for good. Now, brothers, moral and spiritual renewal is a necessity. Every one of you must go back home and join some church, synagogue, temple, or mosque that is teaching spiritual and moral uplift. I want you, brothers, there's no men in the church, in the mosque. The men are in the street. And we got to get back to the houses of God. But preachers, we have to revive religion in America. We have to revive the houses of God, that they're not personal fiefdoms of those of us who are their preachers and pastors. But we got to be more like Jesus, more like Muhammad, more like Moses, and become servants of the people and fulfilling their needs. Brothers, when you go home, we got to register 8 million eligible but unregistered brothers, sisters. So you go home and find 8 more like yourself. You register and get them to register. Well, how should I register? I register as a Democrat. Should I register as a Republican? Should I register as an independent? If you're an independent, that's fine. If you're a Democrat, that's fine. If you're a Republican, that's okay. Because in local elections, you have to do that which is in the best interest of your local community. But what we want is not necessarily a third party, but a third force. Which means that we're going to collect Democrats, Republicans, and independents around an agenda that is in the best interest of our people. And then all of us can stand on that agenda, and in 1996, whoever the standard bearer is for the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, or Independent Party, should one come into existence, they got to speak to our agenda.
That's right. That's
right. We're no longer going to vote for somebody just because they're black. We tried that. We wish we could. But we got to vote for you if you are compatible with our agenda. Now, many of the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margin of the black vote. So in the next election, we want to see who in here do we want to stay? And who in here do we want to go?
Yes, sir.
And we want to show them that never again will they ever disrespect the black community. We must make them afraid to do evil to us and think they can get away with it. We must be prepared to help them if they're with us, or to punish them if they're against us. And when they're against us, I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about an agenda that's in the best interest of the black, the poor, and the vulnerable in this society. Now, atonement goes beyond us. I don't like this squabble with the members of the Jewish community. I don't like it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in one of his writings that he believed that we would work out some kind of an accord. Maybe so. Reverend Jackson has talked to the 12 presidents of Jewish organizations, and perhaps in the light of what we see today, maybe it's time to sit down and talk. Not with any preconditions.
Go ahead.
You got pain, but we got pain too.
Go ahead.
You hurt, we hurt too. The question is, if the dialogue is proper, then we might be able to end the pain. And ending the pain may be good for both, and ultimately good for the nation. We're not opposed to sitting down. And I guess if you could sit down with Arafat, where there are rivers of blood between you, why can't you sit down with us? And there's no blood between us. You don't make sense.
Go ahead.
Not to dialogue. It doesn't make sense.
Go ahead.
Well, brothers, I hope Father Clemens spoke today. Is Father Clemens here? Father Clemens, do you know Father Clemens? He's one of the great pastors. Father Clemens, I wanted him to speak today because he has a program that he wants every one of us, when we leave here, to go to some jail or prison and adopt one inmate for the rest of his and your life, to make them your personal friend. to help them through their incarceration, to be encouragement for them. The brothers who are locked down inside the walls need us on the outside, and we need them on the inside. So if every one of us will pick out one inmate,
and a more than two-hour address from the western side of the United States Capitol here in Washington, D.C., Minister Louis Farrakhan.